everybody, I'm back in the game.
Well, you heard it. I'm back. Peter Pastoor, back in the saddle again. There's a song about that, too. But anyways, I'm playing I'm Back by Royal Deluxe. And that's from his album Uprising. All right, it's been a year since I've been on the air, since Listening Lyrics went off for an hiatus. And I am thrilled to be back. I mean, I couldn't sleep last night, guys. It was just unbelievable. And here we are again. I really don't know how many interviews I've done in the past, but well over 300. And the count is starting again. So we're starting with number one. And let's just hope I can do another 300. That's 10 years. It's a long time. With me in the studio is Joel Daniel. And we have a very special guest by the name of Alex Jordan, a musician from the Bay Area. So welcome, guys.
Hello, hello.
Whoa, I'm not hearing you quite well there.
Thank you so much.
No, what's going on here? I'm gutting myself. Say something again.
Test 1, 2, mic 4.
Try it again.
Test 1. This is Joel.
There you go.
All right.
All righty. I had 3 on.
Three's here, too.
3's there. Okay. All righty. We're all back, guys. Here we are. You probably didn't even hear the first part. I thought I was on mic 1. You see, this is what happens when you come back after a year hiatus. Okay. Joel, in 2 seconds, tell us why you're here and why we're going to spend the next hour talking with myself, Peter, and Alex. But before you do that, I forgot to mention you're listening to KDRT 95.7 Davis, California. Go for it.
I am here to talk about the future of live music, and that I think that future, if it's going to continue, if we are all going to continue to enjoy live music in the future, it needs to change in terms of how we consume it, and I think that the solution is house shows.
And that's the bottom line.
That's it.
Okay. Alex, you've been running around the country, really.
Yeah, recently, yeah.
Recently, yeah. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you play in a small club that sells beer and alcohol and everything else, getting $100 out of that is going to be tough, right?
It depends on the club, but I mean, typically, especially if I have a band with me, you know, on a good on a good night, I'd love to break even.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord. Okay. So, Joel, tell us some ideas that you have for this.
Well, a little bit of background. I've lived in Davis, as you know. I moved here in 1998.
Right.
And played music in town for a very long time. And in 1998, there were 6 venues in Davis that regularly played music.
Okay.
Today, there are 0. And in 2019, I realized after many years of living in Davis that all of my friends that played music could not afford to live in Davis. And so I started an organization called the Davis Independent Music Initiative. We've given tens of thousands of dollars now to musicians to get them to stay in town, make music, and so that, you know, they can pursue their careers as musicians, but right. also for the community to enjoy the music that they're making.
Right.
However, every musician in town, including the musicians that we've given money to, comes to me and says, hey, there's nowhere to play. And it turns out that there isn't places
right.
to play.
Right.
But what there is an abundance, and we can get into the issues of why that is, because I've spent the last year researching it and figuring out why this is. But there is an abundance of houses in every, or apartments in every single town and city in this entire country.
Right.
And if people were willing to open their houses to musicians that were touring around, musicians from Davis, musicians from where Alex is from in the Bay Area could put together tours where they could afford to live and make their art. And that is something that is missing everywhere in this country right now.
Okay. I'm just, things are going through my head, so I'm just going to throw them out here. It might not be in sequence where we're going, but I know we're going to talk about an app that is available that
yep.
you'll talk about. For instance, I might want to I've committed to becoming a host, right?
Yep.
I've been to house concerts, so I sort of know what to expect.
Yep.
For someone who's never done that, is there a list on this app or somewhere available that says, here's what you need to do? Here are the guidelines. 1, 2, 3, 4. Do you serve food? Do you not serve food? How many chairs should I have? How do I invite people? How does the artist interact with inviting? I mean, all of these questions, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the simple answer is yes.
Yeah.
But I can also answer that very quickly right now.
Yeah.
And just say, a house show can be anything that the host wants it to be.
Okay.
It doesn't really need it. You can do whatever you want, Peter, if you're okay. willing to open your house. It's just like hosting a cocktail party. It's like hosting a Super Bowl party. It's like hosting a garden party or a tea party.
Okay.
It's just opening your house to your friends and saying, okay. hey, friends, come on over because, for example, Alex Jordan is going to be performing tonight. And if you want to donate him some money, he would appreciate it.
Right.
And the app that I'm suggesting could be used in Davis and around the country, it's called Sonic Mixer.
Uh-huh.
You can find it on the App Store or the any store that has apps. But
right.
it's sonicmixer.live, and that's the website. And I would suggest every musician that I've talked to about this is a no-brainer. They love
right.
the idea. It's really just convincing hosts that, hey, this is a good idea, and if you like live music, it's integral to there being live music in the future that you consider this as an option. And really, it's just a matter of having a living room. You'd be amazed at how many people could fit in a 10 by 10 foot space. You could do this in a dorm room. You could do this in a bathroom.
Whoa.
Acoustics would be all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who brings the equipment besides a guitar or a keyboard?
Well, for most house shows I've been to probably 50 house shows. I've hosted house shows. I've played house shows. Most of them are just done acoustically.
Okay.
But the expectation is for a house show that the musician is providing everything that they need for their performance.
Okay.
So really, again, if you're hosting a house show, all you need to provide is the space, and you need to invite your friends.
Okay. So here I am. And I want to do this, but I don't know any artists. So I go on this app. Are things there listed by genre? Like if I say I want Alex and he comes and he plays, something that I'm not accustomed to, would all these things be listed?
Yeah. So the app works like Airbnb
okay.
for house shows. I mean, that's really how it is. Except there's a Bumble component, if you're familiar, in that, artists can't reach out to hosts because anybody that's a booker will understand that you get inundated with artists wanting to play your venue, especially these days because there are almost no venues and millions of artists that want to play in spots that just don't exist for them to play.
Okay.
So if you are a host, you could open the app up and basically search for artists, and that you can search by genre.
Right.
You also might see Alex, for example, might be touring through. We're in Davis now. He's going to be leaving town today, but he will probably be back at some point, and he might say, hey, people in Davis, I'm going to be there on these days.
Right.
Would anybody be willing to host me?
Right.
And then you'll get a notification if you're a host in the area,
right.
if you turn that part of the app on. You don't have to have notifications on.
Okay.
But if you wanted a notification, Peter, you might see that Alex was coming, and you'd say, oh, I know Alex's music, or you could search his profile and he would be connected to his Spotify account. You could listen to some of his songs and think, oh, I would love to listen to this in my living room. I'm going to invite my friends over on Friday night and we're going to do it.
This is interesting just to think about this. This reminds me a bit of some of the couch surfing. I don't know if that stuff predated apps or if it made it all the way into the app era. But there was, couch surfing, they were web forums, yep, effectively, yeah. And you would go to a regional area and say, I'm going to be in town. I'm looking for a spot to crash if anyone's got something. So it strikes me as similar to that. You say, I'm coming through town in this window if anyone is interested in hosting.
That's all it is.
Yeah, which is simple as heck.
It's very simple. Like, again, this would allow Couchsurfing is a perfect example because you could essentially, as a musician, surf through the entire country.
Right.
Just letting people know when you're going to be in an area. And provided the app takes off and, there are hosts in all of these areas, and I really think there will be, this will allow, musicians to put together tours and generate the kind of revenue necessary or, donations really necessary to support themselves.
And you're supporting the arts.
That's right.
Which is critical.
That's right.
Not too many people appreciate that musicians are really artists.
Yeah.
They are one of the few that will put their soul on the line in front of people talking about, in times, very personal things or maybe even things that are bothering them politically, right?
Sure.
And not too many people do that. An artist that creates a sculpture or even writing a book, you're never standing in front of people.
Yeah.
But a musician does. That makes them very unique. And this is a win-win not only for the artist but also for the people sitting there. They get to enjoy a performance, very personal. I'm sure that Alex would want to hang around and talk to some of these people after the show or maybe even before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I helped to launch this app in Austin, Texas, in November. And I had played, Alex shared his story about being lucky to break even.
Right.
I played a gig at a pretty prominent venue in Chicago on the Wednesday before launching these house shows. And I don't have a big following in Chicago. I knew this would happen. And I let the venue know, hey, I don't know a lot of people, but I need a warm-up show. I did bring 25 people to the bar. I bought $92 worth of drinks. And I made $29 in tips. So it was a net $61 loss for me. And I knew that going in. But then I went to Austin and I launched these house shows. I think there were about 40 people at two shows.
Right.
I left with $1,000 and I didn't have anything to sell.
Right.
So it would have been different if I had CDs or T-shirts or whatever. But I wanted the opportunity to talk to the people that were there and say, look, this is why this is important.
Right, right.
And the thing that's cool about the app is when you invite your friends to the show through it, if you want to make a donation, you make it right then and there. And so it doesn't have this thing where you get to the show, the musician doesn't know if they're going to leave with any money, and you're passing a hat around that's the tip jar, and no one carries cash anymore.
Right.
And yet, so it winds up being where, there's a bunch of people in this room that are willing to spend $8, $10 on a boba drink.
Right.
And they're not willing, they're not willing to spend the same amount on a musician because they think that the musician is just there because they're just there.
Well, they think that he's doing this because he loves to do it. Why should I pay him?
Exactly. And that's not how this should work.
No, of course not. Of course not. You're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. Listening Lyrics is the name of the show. I'm your host, Peter Pasteur. We're talking with Alex Jordan. And we're also talking with a man that knows so much about music that it's kind of hard to comprehend all these things you've been doing. I want to talk a little bit about your previous band here in Davis, the children's one that you did, if I remember
right. Yeah, the Hoots.
The Hoots.
Yeah.
So go for it.
Well, in 2007, I accidentally started a children's band. called The Hoots. And it was when the first of my friends to have kids had kids. And a friend harassed me for months to write some songs because she knew that I wrote songs. And I did not want to write kids' songs because I thought they would be like Barney. And she said, no, they don't have to be that way. And eventually I relented, thinking, all right, if I'm going to do kids' songs, it's going to have to be like, how would the Beatles do kids' songs? And you could argue that Yellow Submarine was like a kids' song.
Right.
But that was my my North Star that I pursued. And yeah, I think I've written and recorded maybe 40 kids songs. I've played hundreds, if not 1,000 kids shows at this point.
Wow.
And I found, you know, I found a niche.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I've been very lucky in that I do make some money playing kids shows, but I also understand that, you know, there's not so many of us out there that do this thing.
Right.
And the music that I enjoy as a grown up is the kind of stuff that Alex is doing right now,
right,
and trying to scrape by and do it clubs.
Well, what I'm thinking is that a kids show is a lot like a house concert.
Yeah.
I mean, basically a house concert for kids, right?
It absolutely is. So when I think back, again, all the places that I've played, and the thing with kids music is that I play in unique venues. You know, I played hospitals, I play libraries, I play community events centers, I play classrooms and living rooms.
Right.
And so it, you know, I think having that idea of where music can be presented,
right,
as my friends were coming to me with this problem of, hey, there's nowhere to play, I think it was probably maybe more natural for me to make this connection,
right,
and that I have played in these unique places around the country, and maybe can recognize that a show can happen anywhere as long as you have somebody willing to play,
yep,
and you have a space and you have an audience.
Alex, how many have you played house concerts?
Oh, definitely.
Okay,
definitely. When I was just as we're going through the conversation here, I'm mulling over a couple of kind of realities about that. As I've played many house concerts, and you know, when I put out the tour poster that says where I'm playing and what I'm doing,
right,
you know, inevitably there are off days on the poster, and it's not uncommon that one of those off days, unless we need to drive, you know, 1,000 miles in a day and a half.
Right.
It's not uncommon that one of those off days is a private show, is a house
okay,
concert of some kind.
Okay.
And I've done that many times. The band I used to be in for 6 or so years, Midnight North, we used to do that with some friends of ours down in Southern California. Pretty much every time we were there, one day of the week would be the house concert week, and inevitably that was like the gimme day in terms of being able to make a little bit to pad the trip.
Right.
The sort of reality of it is that you're building a fan base by doing that. It's
right.
Just not in the very traditional laid out way, and the money goes right to you. You know, usually you give a little to the hosts.
Right, and you say traditional, but maybe that's how musicians started, 100, 200, 300,
oh, sure,
way back in time.
I mean,
know?
If you want to go to the you know, not to get it into a touchy subject, but the minstrel era.
Right.
You know, I mean, that you know, these men at the time would go in groups,
right,
with their wagons of material,
right,
and just find somewhere,
right,
in the square or
right,
just outside of town,
right,
or in a field,
right,
and set up a show. It wasn't a venue. It wasn't until later that it became popular that the theater became somewhere where music might occur. The
right.
theater was for theater. You know, the opera house was for opera, you know, and so on and so forth. And so the minstrelsy thing is pretty much what rock and roll musicians do today, and folk musicians and all
yeah.
that. That's effectively the same kind of thing, although now it takes place in a bar.
Right, right, right. So I know you've got to get going here soon, so I do want to get a little bit into your music. But before I do that, is there a difference when you play personally,
mm-hmm.
When you play in front of a small group of people that are focusing, or you're playing in a bar where maybe some are focusing, but there's a lot that are focusing on the girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, right?
Right. They're focusing on their night out.
Right, right. So is as a performer, is there a plus to doing a house show?
Well, yes. This is what many musicians will describe if they're not talking about a house concert. They'll describe, oh, that venue, that's a listening room.
Yes.
And musicians use this word a lot to describe a specific place.
Yes.
And a listening room is exactly what it sounds like. It's a venue in which it is set up in such a way, and the expectation of the audience members before they even walk through the door
right.
is that what they're doing is to go sit and listen to music. You go
right.
to Davies Symphony Hall, you're not chatting with the guy or gal
no.
next to you.
No.
You're listening.
Right.
It's, you know, it's just formalized because it's
yeah.
classical music. Well, listening rooms for folk and rock and all that exist. That is what a house concert becomes.
Okay.
You know, frequently. Not always. I mean, sometimes you're a party band. There's definitely Right. There's definitely, you know, the basement party, of course, college party, and that's a that's a form of house concert.
Right.
But, you know, if you think about Animal House.
Right.
But no, I mean, what I assume we're talking about is this listening room mentality.
Right.
And you know, that's a very powerful thing as a musician. It can be nerve-wracking, to be honest, because as you mentioned, you are doing a vulnerable thing.
Yeah.
And you know, my best night as a singer, I'm become the character of the song that I'm singing. And even if I wrote it, I'm trying not to be the guy that's worried about whether or not you like it, and I'm trying to be the person that is singing the song.
Right, right.
And that's a, you know, it's a version of myself, but it's a version of myself that exists within the confines of that, you know, four minutes. And the house concert thing set up very well for that.
Okay, we're going to play one of your songs, then I want to have you talk for just 2 or 3 minutes about the album.
Sure.
And then I know you've got to get going. You've got a new album out. You sent me 4 songs. I'm going to play Saving Grace, and I'll tell you why. It's nice and funky. It's old school. I right away was thinking 60s, you know. And I'm going back to the 60s. It has that vibe to it.
Right.
I don't know if you did that on purpose or not, but it has that feel.
It's hard not to do what's within you.
Yeah, exactly. So here we go. Saving Grace, Alex Jordan. Well, Alex, we're going to have to... I'm having trouble playing what you sent me, even though I've listened to it. Let's see here. There we go. Sorry about that, folks.
Said what was on my mind. Did I shock or offend you? Am I out of touch? Does being honest cross the line? I know that things aren't easy when I'm around you. Like it lost where we begin. Well, I don't mean to cause trouble by the things I do. I'm just trying to fit in. Give me a breath and a place to stand. Give me a warm embrace. Make it mean something that you took my. You took my hand.
took my hand. Give me my saving grace. Give me my saving grace.
Saving grace.
Saving grace. We all need a little bit of that. But don't you agree with me, guys, that this has a little funk to it, a little throwback feel to it. So is that what you were going for?
In some ways, yeah. I mean, at the beginning of the session for the record, I sat down with the producer and the three session musicians.
Right.
And they just asked me what I liked. And they listened to the song, and it was just me on the acoustic guitar.
Right.
And then I quickly sat down at the piano, and we started tracking the song, and it was just based on the conversation about what my interests were and what the producer's ear heard, and
okay.
It developed into that.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, it's available now, right? When will the album be released?
The album, which is titled Queen Kerosene,
right,
is coming out on March the 8th.
Okay.
And I have a release party at the Sweetwater Music Hall in Mill Valley on March 14th.
On March 14th, okay. And will you have CDs?
Oh, man, we'll have CDs, but we'll have vinyl. They just arrived.
Oh, my God.
A pallet of vinyl arrived today at my house.
Oh my God!
But that's
how much does a pallet of vinyl weigh?
I don't have to know, fortunately.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. Well, if you're in the area, there's a chance to see Alex performing live before he hits a house concert.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
So thank you, Alex. I appreciate it, and we'll have you back one day here, sooner than later. How's that?
Oh, it sounds great. I look forward to being back, and I'm glad to hear you back on the air.
Yeah, thank you, and you're gonna have to submit, probably not this year because it's getting a little late, but we do have a music fest here in Davis once a year,
mm-hmm,
that we invite people, and your kind of music would hit the spot.
I'd love to be a part of it.
Okay. Thanks again.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Alex Jordan, heading back to the Bay Area, I presume.
Yes, yes.
All righty. Joel, we're back to you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just get the mics in order here. I am sorry I didn't have the mic going when you and Alex were talking about some of the... As Alec put it, the metrics of, mm-hmm, this whole business thing. It's just mind-boggling that the poor musician who is the artist might not have the capabilities or even the drive to make it a business instead of just doing what you want to do, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's... you know, it used to be that there was, Alex and I were talking, there was, he started talking about, you know, this minstrel era of music and sort of how it evolved into what we are experiencing today. And even,
right,
what we're experiencing today is not what it was 20 years ago.
Right.
When there were record labels and there was, you know, you honed your craft and you had time to hone your craft. And then you got a record label or a record deal and they put it out and it was on the radio and then you toured the country.
Right.
Now there's really none of that. So if you're a starting musician, you're the record label. You're the marketing company. You're the booker. You're,
right,
the PR person. You're,
right,
you're wearing every hat.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's hard to develop as an artist. And now, again, the problem that I'm trying to solve is there's no places to play. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot, but Taylor Swift did a tour this summer. She's played for millions and millions of people.
Right.
There are hundreds of thousands of young women that have seen her,
right,
and want to be like her,
right,
and be a performer someday.
Right.
There's nowhere for them to play,
right,
and hone their craft and learn to be like her.
Right.
So, you know, but there are houses, and that seems like the way forward.
So how do, I guess there's a lot of luck, but like someone like Taylor Swift or Justin Bieber or all of those, how do they come up through the ranks? Are they doing do they have the business finesse to manipulate that? I think Taylor probably does. You know, she seems like very business savvy. But these other artists, do they actually have that, or does it just sort of, they have a great talent and it kind of blossomed from there?
Well, I think that this is probably a conversation that will get us too detoured.
Okay.
But they're kind of pop artists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
I think
in country music and in pop music, there still is sort of a formulaic route to getting there.
Okay.
What Alex does, and kind of what I'm advocating for with house shows, is more of, I don't know, maybe you'd call it Americana.
Right.
Or just sort of maybe rock and roll, or maybe just any genre of music that is outside of pop and country.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, if you are an aspiring pop artist, if you are an aspiring country artist, you still need to learn your craft.
Right.
And, you know, whether that's writing songs or
right.
performing out, and you still need to have the opportunities to do that. In order to do that, you do need places to play and learn.
Right.
So.
You mentioned the name of the app, and say it again, please.
Oh, Sonic Mixer?
Sonic Mixer. It's on probably on Apple, on whatever, Google.
Yeah, yeah,
whatever.
Anywhere you can get apps, it's
okay,
there.
Okay. And then how many cities is it active in right now?
Well, it is certainly active around Texas, which is where it launched.
Okay.
And I've been, of course, advocating to do a house show festival in the Davis-Sacramento area.
Yes.
Because I know a lot of people here. And I think our area in particular is a really good, you know, sort of talking about the issues that we really started this conversation with. Our area is a good area to talk about why there's a problem, which is sort of, as I... You know, my friends came to me, and not just friends, but just all the musicians in town came to me and said, there's nowhere to play.
Right.
I started digging into, you know, why that is. And a big problem that exists is that, one of the reasons is that, you know, Live Nation as a company has bought, they're not really a music promotion company, they're a real estate company.
Right, right.
And they own all the real estate. So
right.
In Sacramento, they own or control venues from 100 seats up to 20,000 plus seats. And so if you're a nationally touring band and you want to play a show in Sacramento, you're going to need to use Live Nation if you also want to play every other city in the country,
right.
Which Live Nation also controls.
Right, right.
And which is why Davis is probably never going to have its own venue, proper venue, unless Live Nation owns it, because they're not going to be able to attract the type of acts that will fill the seats.
Right.
And so, which is why I think Davis is a really great town, and it is supportive of music, but there just is nowhere to have music. And that's why I think it's a good spot to launch another city to launch this app in.
So when you say a concert or a fest, a porch fest, really,
yep.
How big an area of a town like Davis would that involve? I mean, this is can you walk from one, or would you encourage that people, I guess you'd almost have to drive or take a bus or something?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we...
Or bikes?
Yeah, I think if we were going to have a quote-unquote fest, I just think it's a... I mean, it could be five hosts being willing to open their homes on a weekend, where we could just kind of talk about it and draw attention to this issue.
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of ways that we can do it, and I'm still, I'm in talks with the Davis Live Music Collective and the DMF community to put something like this together. But the app, to kind of go back and answer your question, I don't want to detour us too much.
Right.
The app, in theory, exists everywhere right now. So
right.
Anybody that's listening, and I would encourage everyone that's listening to download the app.
Okay.
You can be a host or you can be an artist. Just create a profile for either. And if you're willing to be a host, see what artists might be around.
Right.
Or, you know, message on Instagram or Facebook or, you know, through their website, an artist that you like. I'm only going to be, well, I mean, next time I'm in any city, I've started to use the app to say, hey, I'm going to be in this city.
Right, right.
And granted, there aren't hosts in many cities yet,
right.
Because we've just launched the app.
Right.
But hopefully after this interview, there will be hosts in Davis that are willing to start using it.
Right, right.
And we'll grow it from there.
Okay. Yeah, I think there would be interest out there. I think I would love to see that in Davis. I was in Portland when they had a Porch Fest in the Milwaukee area. Milwaukee is a small area in mm-hmm. Portland. And it was actually, everybody was outdoors.
Yep.
It was not necessarily a porch, but their lawn or the front yard or backyard or something. And there were 6 to 8 groups we biked to that yep. you could do that. And it was a lot of fun.
It's very cool. I mean, Sacramento has a Porch Fest. Winters has a Porch Fest. I mean, this is it's a similar idea, except that what I like about the app is, you know, everybody can receive donations. The musicians can receive donations directly from the people that are
right.
attending.
Right.
You know, because they're going to be invited to be there by the hosts.
Right.
And it's important.
Oh, wait a minute. They're going to be invited by the hosts. So, like the Milwaukee one, it was just broadcast. It was in the papers. Anybody could go.
That's
a little different.
It's a little different. Yeah. So it's a cool thing, but it doesn't have you wind up not having that direct connection between the artist and their, like as Alex was saying, their potential fan base.
Right. Okay, so I really like that idea, and I can think of, okay, let's get 7 DJs to host.
Yeah.
Boom.
There we
go.
You
got it.
Yeah, it can be, it can be KDRT, the KDRT live on-air voices that are kind of getting this thing launched.
Good Lord. Okay. Let's, do we have another segment of this, or should we keep talking about what we've talked about?
We can. I mean, there definitely is more that we can chat about.
Okay.
But, you know.
I was just thinking a quick little break.
Yeah, do that.
Some people do tune in for music, so let's play one more of Alex's songs, and I'll go with let's go with Blue, and we'll take a little break here, and then we'll be right back to talk with Joel. Here we go.
Disappeared. Turn around, maybe one day you're all that was there. I stood by unbelieving, stood by on my own. Always thought I was someone, turns out I was wrong. You brought me through, and you sell me a lie. It's hard to sing with someone who won't sing with you. I give all of my mercy, I give all of my heart. I never thought that I'd miss you, that I'd miss you so much. You brought me through, and you so
Jordan from his new album Clean Kerosene. Alrighty, we're back with Joel Daniel. Joel, we talked about a lot of stuff. Where can we find this stuff?
Well, I'm definitely going to send you some links for this the archive of this particular radio show, so folks can go and find your show.
Okay.
And then they'll be able to find information about this. I also have started a Substack, which is kind of a modern blog where you can find information about house shows and just some of the other stuff that the Davis Independent Music Initiative is doing. I'm calling the Substack Audio Incubator, but you can find it at joeldaniel.substack.com. And I suppose you can find Dimmy on Instagram and Facebook. And you can
find Dimmy.
Dimmy is the Davis Independent Music Initiative.
Okay.
And we also have a website called davisimi.com. And you can, I respond to the contact emails on there, so you could email me there.
Tell me a little bit about Dimmy. I sort of know what it's about, but maybe there are some people listening that don't know what a city like Davis is doing.
Yeah. So I'm so thankful to the city of Davis for giving this idea a try. And I think it's, I think it's amazing. And there's no other place that I know of in the country that's doing it. But basically what Dimmy is, it was started in 2019 from a grant that I proposed to the city. And I asked the city of Davis to fund a record for me to make. And I knew that I could make a record that would be good enough to make the city think that this was a viable thing to support. Now, I finished that record. Max Hart produced it. It's going to come out in 2024. I'm super proud of it. It's got John Natchez from The War on Drugs on it. It's got Luke Reynolds from Guster on it. Of course, Max Hart, who plays with Melissa Etheridge, used to play with Katy Perry. He produced it. And one cool thing in talking to all those guys that played on it was I told them, hey, this is a publicly funded project.
Right.
And they were like, what? Like, I thought they only did that in Canada.
Right.
And no, it doesn't just happen in Canada. It's happening in Davis. And so, and I told the city when they funded me, I said, look, give me the money, but don't give me the money unless you're willing to give it to a musician next year and next year and next year. So that in 10 years, all of us could see that there were these 10 records that have come out, and we could listen to it. And then, and we would hear, as members of the community, we would hear this music continue to be made by the artists that live here.
Right.
And I thought, you know, that's something to be proud of, because when you think of Seattle, you think of Jimi Hendrix, and you can go see his statue, and you could, we know that Pearl Jam and Nirvana and Soundgarden came from there.
Right.
We think of Austin, we think of Stevie Ray Vaughan. You know, and
Willie.
Yeah, of course. And so in Davis, I think anywhere could have that. But someday Davis will have that. And I think one super cool story that is happening right now is with the last recipient of this grant, which I talked a little bit about earlier, but Nat Lefkoff, who, you know, we gave him $10,000 to make a new record, and it's going to come out this year. And he called me in, I think he called me like November 22nd of this year, and he said, hey, I just wanted you to know that when when I was applying for that grant, I didn't know if I could afford to keep living in Davis. I was going to leave. And but you guys gave me that money. And then I was able to have some like financial stability. I was able to find an apartment I could afford. But more importantly, I was able to book a house show tour. And that tour allowed him to generate the type of revenue that he's, you know, he's not just scraping by. He's, at you know, he's thriving. I'm not saying that he's making enough to buy a palatial mansion in Davis, but he's continuing to do his art and grow his fan base and keep going where he wants to go. And the community's benefiting because he's playing around town. He's got a house show coming up in May. We're planning a CD record release party for him at some point this year. Certainly if we put on this house show fest, he'll be there. And you know, and I would encourage everybody listening to go and check out his social media.
Well, we're going to play a song of his in a little bit.
Well, fantastic.
Because he's been busy, busy, busy. But one of my favorite songs is this Great White Plains. Have you heard that
one? I do know that tune, yeah.
That song is about his grandmother at the end of her life. And would you believe it? Great White Plains now has almost 2 million downloads on, or not downloads, but listens on one of these streaming services.
I believe it because it should have that many.
Right.
You know, he's talented, and without the local support that he's been given, you know, like, yeah, I think it's exciting, and I'm stoked for him. I'm stoked for all of us.
Let's take a listen. It's a short song, and then we'll get back with Joel.
Take me to the great white plains to die. I don't want to hear the sirens. I've heard that death is an island isolated. I'm forced to fight it on. Where are you gonna run to now? And who's gonna comfort you? Take me to the great white plains to die. I don't want to hear the sirens. I've heard that death is an island isolated. I'm forced to fight it. Maybe life is the island. Maybe life is the island.
All right, that was Nat Lefkoff with Great White Plains.
Love that tune.
Local guy. He was the last recipient of DIMI, where the city of Davis gives a grant to help a, and I'm not going to say a starving musician, but certainly one that is struggling to have his voice heard.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think when I started it, I thought, well, one, none of my friends and the people I know that played music could afford to keep living in Davis.
Right.
So that was the first problem that I was trying to solve.
Okay.
But then there's, you know, I've played music long enough that I've learned a lot over the years. And I thought, well, and then I started to realize that there's knowledge that could be passed down and should be passed down. And that's always sort of been the way it's been. And so we're trying also to help people that are at every level of making music so that the folks that maybe not weren't at Nat's level yet could get there. And I host a community songwriting critique session on the first and third Wednesdays of the month.
Okay.
You can find information on that at the Davis.
This is on
Zoom. Yep, okay. Do it on Zoom. That way, you know, we have some young parents, so it's hard for them to kind of get out. So they'll put the kids to bed, and then they'll come and right. do it. And we have younger people that come too, of course. But you can find the information on that on our website, davisimi.com.
Right.
We also just did what we're calling the Davis DIMI Day with a Producer.
Right.
And so we are very fortunate to have Max Hart in town, who I talked a little bit about earlier. Right. And we have Lillian Francis, who's another amazing
right.
producer. And so we set up 20 different bands with respectively one of them to workshop a song.
Right.
And you know, Peter, because you've been on the committee every time where we're selecting an artist. It's not easy. But one of the things that I heard constantly on the committee was, well, you know, this artist hasn't recorded anything in a while. And so how do we know what they're doing right now?
Right, right.
And so what I was trying to solve was now we're 20 new bands or 20 right. bands that are working with a local producer, and we can hear what they're doing. Now the committee this year can hear what they're doing right now. And so we'll be launching the next iteration of our large grant where we'll give another artist $10,000 to make another new record. And hopefully they'll be a little bit further along or closer to where Nat was so that they'll be in a better spot to kind of launch up.
So you know who – or do you remember who one of the runner-ups were in the last DMI, DIMI, was Telemachus?
Yes.
And do you know what he's doing?
I do not – I have not checked into what he is up to right now.
Well, he's someone that probably would be very hard for me to get on the radio show.
I believe that.
He's doing very well.
Yeah.
He's playing with major jazz clubs. He's worked with Sacramento has their own little jazz club where their own jazz organization has a theater.
Mm-hmm.
He's played that several yeah. times. You know, he's just doing so wonderful, and he was a runner-up.
Yep. Yeah, I remember the conversations that we all had.
Right.
And it was so difficult.
Exactly. So we only have a few minutes left. I'm going to play one of Telemachus's songs, and it's a little different. It's not country. It's jazz. It's very soothing at times. And but you can sense there's a lot of talent behind it. So Joel, I want to thank you for coming on, talking about this. All the things we've talked about will be on the show description within a few days, with links and some other information. And are there any final words you want to go out with regarding the app, the House Concerts?
No, I mean, I just, one, thank you, Peter. It's a real honor to be on the first iteration, the first episode of Listening Lyrics, part two.
Part two, yeah.
And, you know, just as a member, a longtime member of the community, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
For what you do.
Thank you.
Because, you know, it takes members of the community to donate their time at every level.
Right.
Otherwise, it only works by algorithms.
Right.
And there's no chance of any of this ever getting out
right.
to the public. So thank you. And please, everyone, check out Sonic Mixer and consider hosting a show.
You've been listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. Listening Lyrics is the name of the show. I've been your host, Pete Pastore. I'll be back next week. And we're going to go out with a song called You Ready. And I do, first of all, thank you for saying those kind words. But, Joel, I do want to say that no matter who you listen to on the radio, whether it's someone you haven't heard of or it's someone like a Taylor Swift, they all started out locally. They all had some support. They all had someone like Alex was sitting here is starting out and struggling to get going. They all started that way.
That's right.
And so here we are. So, okay, let's go with You Ready, Telemachus. Thank you all for listening. Cheers.